Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sizzling Scottsdale, Arizona.
It's getting that way.
Yeah.
Today is Jill Friday. She says sometimes it takes the owner to get a deal done. Boy, that's the truth.
Yep.
Sometimes the owner's got to get involved.
Yep.
Like sometimes dad's got to get involved.
Yep. That's what this is all about. That's exactly what this is about. Like, you don't want to do it. I'm here to save you. If you think your staff's all idiots and no one can do anything, that's not true. Sometimes it just takes that extra whatever to get it done.
Before we get into this, let's take a question posed by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And if you're already a member, join us on Discord.
Andrew W. wrote, "Hey, everyone. I'm very interested in doing Land Academy. However, I'm not a citizen of the United States and was wondering if it would still be possible to purchase and sell land in America."
Yes.
"If anyone can answer the question for me, that would be great. Also possible, were there any particular issues that came along with not being a citizen? Thanks a lot, Andrew." I thought this was important because it hasn't come up in a while. And people don't realize that you don't have to live here and you don't have to be a citizen. You don't have to have a visa. You don't have to be a resident. You can be happily and say, Ireland.
We have a group.
And do this.
This comes up probably once a week now, maybe once a month, but probably every couple of weeks, somebody asks this question, whether they're in Discord or wherever. And we point them to the other people that are successfully doing this from other countries, mm-hmm. like specifically Canada and Ireland. Yeah. We've got military people mm-hmm. that are stationed all over the country that are doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, all over the world.
Yeah.
And so, like, the VAs all of our VAs are in the Philippines. So it's truly a worldwide situation.
Isn't that great? You know, and it's funny. Like, remember a long time ago we talked to, one of the reasons we do what we do in the United States is the ease of it, but it's the ease of the data. And we were looking at doing this maybe internationally in Australia, because that's, I think still right now, it's the only other place that we can really get quality data, and it's legal. Because we were talking about this with somebody in England one time. They're like, version of the assessor and the owner data is not public information.
Yeah, we're very, very fortunate in this country
that it's public information.
And when the property got all subdivided or sanctioned or whatever the verb is by the federal government and then eventually homesteaded out, I don't know why, but they just became a transparent ownership scenario. And most places in the world, it's the exact opposite. Nobody wants anyone else to know that they own anything.
Or what they paid.
Yeah.
Or any of that. So, and it's so funny that it's your home, but not your car. There's mm-hmm. so many other things that it's not.
Right.
It's really interesting. But luckily for us, it is.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be possible. Mm-hmm. I've spent a substantial amount of time trying to duplicate this in Canada. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
The ownership records aren't available.
Yeah. Today's topic, Jill's Friday. Sometimes it takes the owner to get a deal done, and sometimes it takes the co-host to move the show along.
This is the meat of the show.
There's like a long pause. I'm like, is he okay? Do I pat him on the back? Are you all right there?
Why do your parents smash you on the back when you're like choking? Isn't it going to lodge the food in there worse? I've never understood that.
I don't know. That's true. That used to be a thing. And it might be wrong. I bet it is wrong.
I had a second generation mother. We were talking about this in Discord. Huh. Under the guise of, the hate when people get upset about the offers that you submit and they call back and scream at you. I did this whole thing in Discord and said, I grew up in Detroit within this Italian family. My grandparents came here from Italy. There is no... I can take the hate. And everybody piped in with all kinds of stories about that, their parents and how they grew up.
I did not grow up like that.
My parents had weapons, man. My mom had a wooden spoon that she would use on us if we were not behaving the way she thought.
No, but I would have gotten in trouble. I was sent to my room or grounded. We never really even talked about it. you know, was kind of a thing. And so I had a very different experience. And I never really pulled anything that bad. I guess, you know, it's kind of funny, like, nowadays when, the doctor, have any changes from your last visit? Nope. It's so flatline, boring, but it's consistent.
Jill literally grew up next to Disneyland. She would, every night she would watch the fireworks at 9 o'clock.
Yep, I could hear her window, and I could hear the bed. I'm laying in bed, pop, pop, pop.
Then she went to work there.
I did. It was a lot of fun.
That's not the childhood I have.
It was between that and the beach. That's not what you did.
Nope.
Okay.
Shoveled a lot of snow.
Got it.
Learned a lot of four-letter words from my grandparents and my parents.
I understand. So this topic today is a little bit of a, it's not, you know what, it's not meant to be a rant. It's meant to say you're not nuts, because sometimes it even happens to us. I know people look at us like, what do you mean? Even at your level, you had to get on the phone and talk to a title agent. Yep, I did. It wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. And my people can only push them so far. And there's sometimes has to be an owner-to-owner conversation. So that's what this is about. I recently had to get on the phone with a title company and say, we need to take this to the next level. I appreciate you, Sally, but you're not the good person I want to talk to, and I don't even want to talk to your manager. Let's keep going.
Tell us why, because I've actually wanted to ask you this, not necessarily on the show, but I was walking past your office that day. Mm-hmm. And I heard you talk to our transaction coordinator. So what was the story there?
You know what? Well, this particular one was that the title agent left the company. And whoever they passed it off to, it may have been the understudy. You know, a lot of title agents, especially right now because they're so busy, they have, you know, junior title agents that are their assistants. So maybe it went to the understudy or their assistant who was trying to do the deal. And it was getting pushed out so far that it's not going to close. I'm afraid it's not going to close and I'm going to lose a seller. And we're starting over again, too. The person wasn't really, they weren't the sharpest knife in the drawer. It wasn't a seamless transfer, which it should have been.
Sure.
The amount of money that we spend, the amount of business that I give them, are the level of communication and how on the ball we are. This is not my first deal. So when I come to title agent, you know, this is part of my issue, too, is that my staff most of the time knows more than they do. They definitely know more about the deal. The top person on my transaction team has done title stuff and trained title people. She's had that job. She still does that job on the side sometimes, helps out some of her friends at title agents and kind of moonlights on the weekends and helps them get deals done. And I'm like, go for it. I don't care. You're weird, but okay. Like, it's not how I would spend my weekend.
You're weird.
So, but no, in a good way. But she does. So she really knows her stuff. So she's often educating these people. So the fact that, you know, I just had to get involved, again, she got as far as she can go. And it's, you know what, it probably just was her title. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I have to get on the phone and say, look, I'm the owner. We need to solve this right now together. And sometimes it's owner to owner. We got to talk. Yeah. And it's like, and you have to connect with these people. I've had to do that time. One time, I remember massage company a long time ago. I was going to a massage company. Not kidding. I prepaid. I get like 2 massages a month. And then this something happened. Big staffing change. And I was getting the runaround from the staff member who I talked to. And so I blasted an email to the owner of the company. I was pissed off. Bless his heart, he called me. He was so, he did.
That's great.
He like called me like in his car on his cell phone when he got my email.
I do remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And we totally connected. He was so nice. And my communication to him was, owner to owner, you need to know your staff is making a mess. Yeah. They're about to lose me and I've given you so much money over this period of time. And I'm going to be gone. And he's like, it was a thank you. So it's two parts. Sometimes you have to get involved and you have to take it to that level. And it's not very often. Oh my gosh, not even once a year do I have to do this. But once in a while, things come up. And then the other thing is, you are really doing them a favor. Like, I want to know too.
Yeah, we own a bunch of companies and I want to know too. Mm-hmm. If somebody's really unhappy, I really do want to know because I don't want that to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'll fix it.
You know, Jill and I take and I think most owners do, take pride in this stuff, and delivering content or buying property and reselling it and all that. So whatever the companies are, I want to know right away.
Yep. And he was so nice about it. We had a good laugh about it. He's like, what? He's like, oh, ho, you know, don't worry. I will take care of that tomorrow. And there's going to be some retraining going on, you know, kind of thing.
Just like when the kids are little, you know, you want your teachers to say, look, this, the kid's not, they're either not behaving correctly or they're not grasping math. I mean, so we could, as parents, make different decisions and get them the stuff that they need or whatever. So it's the same situation, same kind of feeling or thought process.
Yeah, you really are. And just make sure you approach it the right way. You know, it's not like, you guys are all losers.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to do that. You're gonna, you know, and that's how I do it. I by the time I have to do this too, it's a couple of times. I could say, here was goof number one. Tried to work with them. Here's goof number two. Still trying to work with them. And now I'm on number three. And we got to talk because you're going to lose my business. And if you're going to lose my business, you need to know because now it's affecting your livelihood. So you are kind of helping people out.
It's really, really hard to manage employees correctly. They have to, without, at least in our companies, the people who do extremely well are very independent and they hold themselves accountable so that we don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that problems arise when people are not. I know that the people who have recently were either asked to leave our companies or we asked them to leave were purely because they just weren't taking them, holding themselves accountable for some level of performance. They were looking to us to do that, to set that bar for them. And that in the end, that's never going to work. Here's the bar. I just need to be amazed all the time that how independent you are and how you're solving your own problems.
And you have to spell that out at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason I wanted to talk about this today is because not only are we business owners, but probably you listening right now are too, because every single Land Academy member are running their own little business.
Yep. Yeah, exactly, Jill. That's well said.
So we all need to know that this is going to come up. You're not nuts. How do I handle it? Whether I'm the one making the call or I'm receiving the call, you need to have an open mind.
I'm just thinking about some past employees.
Oh, yeah. Have an open mind. And just the best thing I can say is everybody should be on the same page. How can we quickly solve this and prevent it from happening again? That's the goal.
I had a person who was our director of acquisitions for years come to me like on the second year, and she said, this is my second year anniversary.
Mm.
I said, congratulations. She said, well, I need a review, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And she didn't work there much longer after that. And she came from a background that was very, very structured, it's like an airline type company where it's like
annual reviews.
Yeah,
you get a 2% raise.
There's a 2-inch booklet on how to work there, training, formal training, and all that.
Right.
And that's just not the environment that Jill and I provide at all.
Well, and it's not that she was wrong. She came to you and was trying to change it and expect something. So, as an employer, you need to make sure you tell your people how it's going to go. Like we even, you know, our I swear the day you get three employees, okay, you're gonna laugh at me, but I mean, we have our own employee handbook.
I know we do.
And we really talk about, you know, this is truth time. Truth time. He made fun of me because I had a dress code. And I still have
all kind of weird stuff goes on in these companies.
Well,
now
we don't have an office now, so I don't know what everybody's. I'm sure everybody's in pajama pants and flip flops. But back in the day, I had a dress code, and I had to think about it. I did not like flip flops. Did not like flip flops. This was in California too, not here in Arizona. Different story. I didn't like shorts, and I didn't like flip flops.
I just found out.
And I don't like tank tops.
This is the truth. I found out a year later after wearing shorts and flip flops to work that I was
the only one.
Compliance.
You were the only one.
I don't know why no one told me, because I would have changed it.
You're the owner. You don't have to read the employee handbook, but they do.
That shouldn't be right. I would happily set an example. Well, you know, that's not cool.
I believe that there's a different mindset when you're wearing pants.
I do too.
And you could wear nice sandals for girls, you know, and the guys just wear tennis shoes. That's fine. but flip-flops and, you know, board shorts and a tank top. Next thing you know, you're just kicking back eating sunflower seeds all day.
That's you.
It's true.
You just described yourself.
Well, I'm allowed to. I'm the owner. But I would not do it in front of our people, and I don't do it in the office. So there you go. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, join us next week for another interesting episode.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
You're covering for me all day today.
I am. That's okay. This is what we do. We have each other's back. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we do appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and give us some feedback on the shows you love. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.
I gotcha.